closer.
You are listening to the La Tavola Marque Radio Network. Thank you for joining us and downloading our little podcast from Italy. Today is the 7th of March. It is 8:30 in the morning, and we are going to do a little fun podcast, a little shorty short today because we got a brand new digital recorder, and I want to try it out and see how the levels sound. My name is Jason. I'm joined by my reluctant wife, Ashley. Who is not into doing the podcast today because she says we have too much work to do and we don't have anything to talk about.
And I know I won't post it today.
It doesn't matter.
All right. Well, you said the date, so that's why I just want to make sure that if people are listening to this and the date is 3 or 4 days after, that they're not confused.
Well, it won't be 3 or 4 days after. It will definitely go up today.
No.
See what I'm dealing with here, folks? I do this for you guys. My name is Jason. I'm joined by my wife, Ashley, who's the reluctant podcaster today. But I do it for the people, man. Jason's giving back. Together we run our little agriturismo inn and cooking school called La Tavola Marque, and we do a very inconsistent little podcast, usually from our bedroom, and today is no different.
I want to talk about travel in Italy. We went to visit our friend Fabio, who is our commercialista, or kind of tax accountant, business guy. And we went by his parents' house last night, which reminded us of when we first moved here, because we stayed up at his family's country house in Sassicovaro, and how lost we got on the back roads because we used only a sat nav.
A GPS.
Yes. And I was saying to Jason that what's better, to use a sat nav, to use a map? Well, I think the answer is to use both if you can. And why do you say that, Jason? Like, why do you think that sat nav is no good to go by itself?
I think in the cities, the sat nav is great. You put in the address, hit go, and it takes you right there. However, out here in the countryside, there are so many little tractor roads and little B and C roads that you can follow that are on the map, and the sat nav, or the tom tom as they call it here, can't differentiate the best road from the fastest road or the shortest road. So I would say if you're coming to Italy and you're going to rent a car, which is if you're going to get out of the major cities, is absolutely the best thing to do. Rent a car. It doesn't cost a lot. We have guests who want to come and say, well, I'll just grab a taxi or I'll grab a car service. There really is not that much options. And the car service from Bologna to our house, which is about a two-hour drive, will cost you much more than renting the car for the 7 days that you're here.
And the idea of train travel in Italy is great. However, in La Marche, it's quasi non-existent unless you live on the coast. There's no intraterra inland train service. Correct?
No, it goes down the west side of the peninsula, and it goes down the coast over here, but there's nothing down the middle through us, because there's a mountain range.
Yes.
So rent a car, get yourself a Michelin map, go online, go to eBay, go to Amazon, whatever. You can buy the Michelin map of Italy.
Which is like a book.
Yeah, it's a spiral book. It is the best map you can find. Every road in Italy is in that book. And in conjunction with your sat nav for the cities, and you use that. Your navigator, whoever's sitting in the passenger seat, has the map on their lap, and you can see which road. Okay, the sat nav tells us to take this little road, but man, on the map, it looks like a little skinny, you know, spaghetti road through the mountains. So we're going to take the straight road that goes around the mountain. And yes, it's more kilometers, but you can go faster and no one will get sick in the back.
And I think that it is important to mention, try not to follow the numbers. Like in on the West Coast, for example, you take I-5 or 420 or things like that, where you're looking at the numbers on the interstate and the expressways, where here it's not so much, you won't see the numbers, especially on the road signs or the roundabouts. You need to look town, village to village to village. So if you're coming to our house from Rome, you would go from Rome, follow the signs to Arezzo, from Arezzo or to Perugia.
From Perugia to Città di Castello, from Città di Castello to Apecchio, from Apecchio to Piobico. We've had people all the time call us, I'm on BIS 215. How far am I?
Mile marker 37. Where am I?
It's like, I have no idea what that is. What was the last town you passed? So that's really how you navigate here in Italy from town to town. There's two types of road called a strada provinciale and a strada statale. And the strada provinciale are provincial roads, usually smaller ones, and the state roads are usually a little bigger one. And you'll see it. It'll be either called SS2, SS and the number, or SP and the number. And if you're looking on your map, it'll say that SP or SS. And then, of course, there's the autostrada, which is the paid toll road, and the superstrada, which is usually a two-lane carriageway.
And whether it be staying with us or another rural agriturismo location, make sure to find out from where you are staying the best directions, in the sense of, our farmhouse is not on any sort of sat nav. You can use the GPS coordinates. However, the road does not exist on any tom-tom. So when I send directions to the guests, I make sure to say use Piobico as your point of reference and then follow our directions from there. So always double check your accommodations and if they have specific directions, because there's still a lot of back roads and we live along one of them. So it's not always so easy, but I do agree that having a sat nav for an exact address in a city is wonderful.
And last but not least, use common sense. If you go from the paved road to a dirt road to a mud road, turn around. Didn't we? We were watching the. It's a horrible story, but we were watching on Discovery Channel or whatever the family who in Oregon who started going down. They were going over the Cascades or what? I don't know.
Was it in Washington or Oregon?
It was in Oregon, and they go off the main road to a logging road. The logging road turns a dirt road, and they travel down it for like 2 or 3 hours.
But real knowing, like going, I don't think this is right. Well, turn around.
If the little voice in the back of your head says, I don't think this is right, flip it and go back to the main road. Listen to your common sense.
And don't be afraid of your language skills. It's okay. Pull out this is part of why it's important to have a map with you. If stop at a gas station or ask a friendly Italian, point on the map where you're trying to go, and they'll try their best to help you. We've had wonderful situations of guests getting lost, however, then later being escorted by locals all the way to our house, whether it be by a policeman or say, wait here, my brother speaks English, and having another person show up and show you how to get here. So, yes. Just don't follow the sat nav blindly.
No.
We've experienced it many times, and that's what we were talking about last night, which made me think about this, because from Sassocavaro to our house should only be about 25 minutes, and the first time we did it using the sat nav and not a map, it took us like 2.5 hours.
Because we followed the little tiny road over the hills that goes back and forth like spaghetti, and that's both what the sat nav thinks is the fastest and the shortest route. So we've learned from there, and hopefully this will save you time, frustration, and getting lost. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought. Fill it for me.
What else did you want to talk about for travel in Italy? I thought you said something else about it.
Travel in Italy. Oh, a couple of things. Cash. Of course, cash is king country. So if you're get out of the cities and into these little places, a lot of times when you whip out that plastic, they're going to look at you like, mm-mm.
They'll say, the machine is broken.
The machine is broken. That is the number one, that's the number one excuse you'll get. The machine's broken. Have plenty of euros.
I prefer cash. Give me cash.
Plenty of euros on you. And especially when the, during the pausa pranzo, during the mid-afternoon break, where you have to use the little machine to get gas, the little machine that you put in. If you have an out of country credit card or a ATM card, sometimes they won't take it if you're from America or from anywhere outside continental Europe. So have cash for your gas. Also, if you put in a 50 and you only take 30 euro worth of gas, it's going to spit you out a receipt, which is credit for credit for the next time you come and get gas, which is great if you live here. I mean, it doesn't matter. I'll just go the next time and hand the guy the receipt, and he'll say, oh, you have 20 euro credit, no problem. But if you live out of country and you're never going to go back again, just get the amount you need.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about like an international driver's license, things like that?
I would say get it. It's 10 bucks through AAA or through your automotive. I don't know what the equivalent
club.
Of. Yeah, the auto club. We've never had anyone ask for it.
Including at the car rental and or the police.
But you never know.
I mean, it's the one time. It's 10 bucks and at least you've got it.
It's 10 bucks and a passport photo. You have it and, you know, of course, the one time that you say, I don't need it, forget it, screw it, I don't need it. That's the time they'll ask you for it. But I think the international driver's license is kind of going the way of the dodo, I think. Have you ever heard that expression?
No, I haven't. I think you just coined it.
What else about travel in Italy? We have a great link on our website and for Auto Europe. It's a consolidator of all the major car rental companies. We use it.
When we travel.
When we travel, we use our own link. They give you usually it's between 15 and 30% discount on even what you can find on the Auto Europe website itself. So check it out. If it's a better deal, go with it. If it's not, then go with someone else. Another little thing about traveling in Italy, be patient. Give yourself plenty of time. Don't get stressed out about the way Italians drive. They're going to come up right on your butt and be really close to you. Let them pass.
Let them pass. You're on vacation. Who cares? You're not in a hurry. They are. And there's not the aggressiveness at all. But you might go, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, why are they coming up so fast? I mean, even last night, we're following Fabio in the rain, in the fog, in the windy roads. This is how Jason learned to drive here, was following Fabio. He starts passing two and three cars, and you're just like, son of a bitch, Fabio.
On a two-lane road, pitch black.
Yeah, there's not a lot of road lights here at all. The roads are not well lit. So take your time and don't worry about it. They'll pass you. Italians have no fear of that. And
throw your blinker on, pull over a little bit on the right, and they'll fly right by you, and it's not a big deal. Yeah, but driving in Italy is fun. It's liberating. You don't have to come to a complete stop at stop signs.
You take the curve.
You get to take the curve. You get to drive. As you take the curve, you get to dip into the other lane. It's really fun. I like it.
Now, what about airports? What are your feelings on Italian airports? I wish my friend Teresa was here for this, too.
Oh, my God. Teresa has great airport stories. I would love to say it's organized chaos, but it's really not that organized.
No, not at all. Things like, what do you call those, like, zip lines? Like, the things to keep people in a line?
Yeah, you know, the little things, the pole with the little seatbelt material that comes out, and you can connect it to the other pole.
Those aren't really used. No. So it turns into a couple hundred people funnel into a two-person line, and it's absolutely chaotic. And I don't know. What do you have to say about it?
There's no consistency in security. Sometimes they root through your bags. Sometimes they say you have to have only 100 milliliters of shampoo or whatever. Other times they don't even look at your ticket or your passport, and they're just trying to wave people through. I know we talked about this on a podcast around Christmas time, but or New Year's, I forget what it was, but they were just it was an absolute zoo. It kind of makes you laugh. You kind of just...
You have to just go with it, because if you get frustrated, nothing's going to... It's not going to do anything.
No, it's not. But the season is coming up. It's starting. Make your travel plans. I think Italy can really use, and Europe in general could really use foreign travel this year. And it's going to be great. I'm really excited.
Yeah, I would say, and also in general, don't be afraid to travel here because of the lack of government. I don't know. What do you think?
No, nothing's going to, day to day, no one's going to notice.
Boycat loves to come inside. He has a new thing, side note, and he has to look at himself in the mirror. He discovered
he's very vain.
He discovered a mirror in our room, and every time he comes in now, he walks straight up to the mirror and has to look at himself, and he wags his tail, and it's hysterical. Crazy cat person, side note.
All right, so this was a little fun, funsy podcast today to check our brand new little digital recorder. I hope you like the sound. I hope it sounds better coming through. This is a thing we borrowed from our neighbor Carolyn. This is not our hardcore digital recorder with the two microphones that we have on order, but
two turntables and a microphone.
So, Ashley, now I know you were very reluctant to do this podcast. Are you happy that you spent the last 15 minutes? It's talking into this thing.
For the people, yes. I am still reluctant.
Now you're for the people.
I am still reluctant. I still don't think it will be posted today, so we'll see you when we see you.
This is the fourth time I've tried to do this. Ashley sabotaged the first three with foul, disgusting language coming out of her mouth that is not ladylike at all.
I talk like a trucker.
Okay, I'm going to leave it at that. What are you doing today on this beautiful March day?
I'm applying to a bunch of emails, working on the book, and I don't know. I think maybe we'll do some more outside projects since it's so nice and warm.
It's warm, but it's raining currently.
Oh. So, inside projects.
Me, I have to zip up the rest of the little side note. The sausages that Gaji tried to do his best to ruin are coming out fine. I have to go up there and turn them all the time. I got about half of them zipped up in the vacuum seal bags, the other half in the next few days. So, it all worked out in the end. It was just kind of a pain in the butt to get it going. But that's it. Today, I will be walking through the house, continuing my little projects that I'm going to do. I'm very good at starting the projects, and then I just start walking in circles after a while.
That's what I was going to say. You're really good at wandering around the house. Other side note, totally an Italian meal, but Jason made pretty freaking awesome corned beef and cabbage the other day. A little salute to St. Patty's Day. And it was awesome.
I forget what we were watching or where we were, but
hankering.
Corned beef. We haven't had corned beef in like 5 years. So I went online and looked up a recipe for corned beef, and I went to the butcher and asked him for petto di vitello, veal breast.
He didn't understand what I mean.
They have veal breast here, but they cut it in a different way. So I told him what I was looking for was a very lean piece of beef with no veins or no nerves running through it. So he said, "I don't know what you want. Come with me." He brings me into the back and he says, "What are you looking for? This?" And I said, "Yes." And he cut me off a brisket and he said they call it petto di vitello, and I got two big nice pieces and I put it in a solution of cloves and rosemary and laurel and salt and peppercorns and blah 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 blah, and I left it soaking for 10 days, and then I simmered it really really slowly pretty much all day in fresh water with carrots and more garlic cloves and everything in it. It came out okay. I think it needed another couple of few days in the brining liquid, but It definitely...
It did the trick.
Yeah, it definitely was like corned beef. It doesn't have that fakey red color that corned beef has because of the red salt or saltpeter or whatever that chemically salt is. But, you know, we slapped it on some bread. We got some crappy mustard, and it was pretty good.
It was. I was happy.
Very good. All right, thank you very much for listening to this one. It's a little shorty one, a little 18, 20-minute one today. Why don't you throw out where they can find us if they have any questions or comments.
Great. You can email me at info@letavlamarque.com. You can find us online on our website, letavlamarque.com, Facebook, Twitter, you know the deal, the whole shebang, and YouTube, and obviously you found us on iTunes or Stitcher, and how do you spell it? LATAVOLAMARCHE.
Very good. Well, thank you very much from our little Piccolo Pezzo di Paradiso of Piobico, Italy. Thank you so much for listening to our little podcast from Italy, and we will join you next time. Have a great day.
Arrivederci.
Ciao, ciao.